welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome to Education Currents. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin. And now about today's show. It was recorded at the International Christian Retailers Convention at the Grand Ole Opry. And when we're at these conventions, we can't always control who will come into the recording area. So at the beginning of this show, you'll hear some laughing and talking in the background, and I apologize for that. I still believe this interview is worth broadcasting, so here we go. Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Dr. Tara Fairfield, and you are a licensed psychologist with more than 20 years of experience working with youth and families, and you're the mother of three children, and you really have a heart for the teen, and I think that, you know, that is a special ministry in itself, because sometimes teens can be obnoxious. And the book that you wrote is called Mackay Queen? Mackay is a novel about a young girl, and we're going to kind of layer the interview with questions about your book and also about your philosophy and the help for young teens. So here we go. You as a teen yourself, did you experience any of the problems that you see young teens facing now that kind of you can see set the stage for your compassion for them?
Well, as a teen myself, I wasn't raised in a Christian family, and so I struggled a lot with my purpose in life, and they loved me. My family was a very loving family, but I wasn't grounded in God. I was searching for faith, and God found me. I didn't find Him, and brought me to Him when I was in my early 20s. But without Him to ground my teenage years, it was, as many girls do, fraught with, you know, wanting attention from young men, wanting to be popular, wanting all the things of the world that are superficial and unfulfilling. And while I had a loving family, I didn't struggle in that way. I struggled because I was left in the world without a faith to ground me.
And it's very hard to tell a young person that they shouldn't want those things. Mm-hmm. I haven't found a real successful way, and I work with that age group in my profession as a principal and a teacher. And we see what we want for these young teens and what life can be so much more, they can have so much more peace and everything. But yet, how do you communicate that now? What are some of the things that you're doing to try to bring that teen to that realization that there's more to life than just, you know, a boyfriend or the latest fashion?
That's a great question. I think it's not so much about telling them what they shouldn't have or saying no. It's about putting in front of them what will bring them the greatest joy and happiness, and showing them how God, what He has for them, which is so much better. So when I was raising my own children, I didn't spend a lot of time telling them no, no, no. It was more about putting them in situations where they saw for themselves the value of faith. An example was we would go down to Mexico and build homes for families that basically lived in a trash dump. Mm-hmm. And just that experience, my children were able to see, one, compare what they had and how they had taken that for granted and was in the consumer world wanting, you know, how it pushes you to want more and more and not appreciate what you have. And so just by seeing how others lived like that and giving back to them, they were able to just take a more grateful perspective and appreciate those smaller things in life, which is just a warm place to sleep
yes,
at night.
Yes. So looking back, reflecting on your childhood and then the childhood that you've provided for their children, what are the main differences?
I didn't have that. I don't think I appreciated what I had. I think that I didn't know a different way. And so I really feel like I lived a lot of those years unaware of the consequences of decisions, unaware of how I fit in life. And that is not a, it, it's that doesn't bring you joy when you're totally just absorbed with self and unaware of the what's going on around you, because you're always about trying to get. And so I think by allowing my children to see and become aware of a greater purpose, I gave them the opportunity to find more depth and meaning in not just in themselves, but in something greater.
Now, you wrote a book called The Mackay Queen, and it's a novel. What was the purpose for writing this book?
Well, I really wanted to show God's love and his plan for teenagers' life through story. If anyone who's been in a bookstore can see, it's riddled with death, and for teens, books about vampires and werewolves and all of these messages that are negative and about death. And I really wanted to counter that with a story for teens that would, one, be exciting to them and attract them, but also have a positive message about his love, his forgiveness, his mercy, his plan, so that they could look to something else, because what our world is providing them is pretty dark and negative.
Now, you're not trained as an author. How did you even know that you were going to write a book?
Well, I've always loved to write. When I was in college, I took writing classes, but I went into psychology, and then I had a family, so I really didn't have time to write.
Yes.
But that longing was still there. And once my children went to college and were grown, I had more time. And I think God really just directed me back to pouring out the story onto the page. And I have a lot to learn as a writer and an author, and this is my first book, and I'm having a great time, but I'm also aware that God has a lot to teach me still.
It's a story about an ocean. I mean, it's nautical and
It's about a girl who is kidnapped off the beach and taken to a world beneath the sea. So it's a fantasy world in which that the inhabitants can speak to and interact with the life there, and they are given the duty to protect it.
And I think of that, and I think of, you know, God's gift of imagination. In fact, on the book it says, deep under the surface of the sea is a world she never imagined. And of course, I can use my imagination to envision some of my more conservative listeners going, why would we want our children to read a book like that?
I wrote the book that way because I wanted a story that would capture their attention and would draw their interest, but yet once they opened the pages, they saw the message that Christ had of the values and the morals that he taught us to live our life by. And so Tessa, who starts out as not a believer, but she's taken into the sea and she finds God there, and she finds out the power of his forgiveness and the power of and how forgiveness heals her and others around her. And so in a lot of the books that kids read today, there is a lot about fighting and conflict and standing up for yourself. But really the true strength and the true power is in submitting and forgiving and taking that approach in that heart. And so I wanted a story. I think a lot of teens, you can preach to them and they tune it out. They don't listen, especially to adults. You know, they hear it and hear it. But if they see it in a story and they're taken through a fictional character, they will get the message in a way that they might not get on Sunday at church. And that was my goal, to have a different venue, a different format from which to get that message to kids who might not hear it. And it isn't just for children who already know Christ. And there have been non-believers who have read it. And it really is, I wrote it so that anyone who picks it up can see those messages and hear the love of Christ for them without going to church, because not everybody does.
Yes.
And so it's just another way to get it out.
Are you an active therapist, or how have
I do
you
a
used?
Ministry right now in Olympia. I have worked as a psychologist. Right now I'm doing it as a ministry. Free.
Well, that's always the most that's always a wonderful way to do it, because so many young people need help.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would you say would be the number one problem that a young person is coming to you for, or anybody for that matter?
When I see the teenage girls in the ministry, many of them don't realize their value. They have very negative images of themselves, and their self-esteem is very low. So no matter what they look like or how beautiful they are, they will come in and say, well, I'm too fat, or I don't have, my hair isn't right. And all of these things are really, they're tortured. And, you know, the enemy wants to seek, kill, and destroy our youth. And he is after them. And he is tearing them down. And what I try to do is build them back up. Mm-hmm. Really let them know how precious they are in the kingdom and how valued they are. And that really is the key. If they would just understand their worth, all the other things would fall into place.
Yes. We'll be right back. We're visiting with Dr. Tara Fairfield, a licensed psychologist. And I want to unpack a little bit more about some of the issues facing teens today. We'll be right back.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
How can we be more loving to our friends and enemies?
Becoming more loving is the best way to better ourselves socially. Knowing more facts than everyone else labels you as a genius. Winning every race makes you an athlete. Being more beautiful or handsome identifies you as a hunk or babe. But having more love turns you into a friend. Think about the people you know. Who do you enjoy spending time with the most? If you're like me, it's those who share love with every greeting, who genuinely care about you, who listen instead of talk, sympathize, encourage, freely allowing their laughter and tears to blend with yours. How do you learn to love more? By sitting at the feet of an expert on the subject, Jesus Christ. His friends and, yes, even his enemies felt the power of his forgiveness, patience, and unconditional kindness. Paul says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." 1 Corinthians 13:13 NIV.
My friends expect me to love them, but my enemies? Boy, are they in for a shock.
If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Coffee, when are we going to get through this jungle?
No.
Harvey, what was that?
I don't know, but I will check through the binoculars. Oh, my joy, it is a hippopotamus.
This clap is around my neck.
Herbie the Hippo, and I Can Read Animal Story. Check us out at homeschoolcompanion.org. That's all one word, homeschoolcompanion.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin. And I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion. And I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry. And I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support. So take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back to Education Currents. I'm here with Dr. Tara Fairfield, and she's written a book called The Mackay Queen. And we've just started our discussion about some of the issues that are facing young people. And, you know, I think that self-worth or God-worth that we want our young people mm-hmm. to have, that is so important. Now, looking at media, what tips would you have for parents as far as protecting their child from all the harms, mm-hmm. all the messages, the harmful messages that come through media?
Well, I'm a fan of limiting media in adult and adolescent's life, because the messages, the media that's on mainstream TV puts forth images that no young child or youth can really attain. It puts forth beauty and materialism and really all of the things that we want our children to walk away from or not to be so focused on. I would mm-hmm. say not to focus on, because those are the things of the world mm-hmm. and they're empty. But it's always put, if you look at like 17 magazine for girls, mm-hmm. I mean, you're looking at girls who have perfect hair, they're very slim, mm-hmm. they have perfect skin, they have friends, there'll be pictures of them in all of the fashions, and most of our kids can't aspire to that, but they're going to try because mm-hmm. that's the model put in front of them. So my advice is to manage that. So if your child is exposed, because we can't keep our children mm-hmm. totally from the world, but make sure that they understand what their worth is. Make sure that they, a lot of positive affirmations. When my girls were growing up, you know, I always wanted to counter the world with positive affirmations, and not just about their physical appearance, but about their character, mm-hmm. about their who they were and who God was developing inside of them in terms of their kindness and their generosity and their, you know, spirit. So feed the spirit is what I would say, and make sure that your teen knows, you know, what their gifts are, because each teen has a gift, and it's helping them to discover that, uncover it, and then grow it and mm-hmm. blossom it.
Now, is it true that in the teen years there's a natural dip in self-worth or self-esteem, or is that just something that the media has encouraged?
I think that comes from the world personally, and the media is a part of that, because if you look at youth who have come from families who build them up and who are surrounded by a community of believers who build them up, and compare them to a secular family whose teens are immersed in the world, to me, I see stark differences. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be like that. And again, the enemy is out there tearing down our youth. And mm-hmm. Part of the reason why I wrote this book is like, I want to stop it. I
yes.
want to stand up and declare and take back from the enemy
yes.
that our teenagers, he doesn't have a right to them. And so it just is so important to make sure that they are hearing that they know, and giving them opportunities to, if they're a speaker, to speak mm-hmm. or to provide leadership or to, you know, mentor younger children mm-hmm. or whatever it is that is in their heart, to help that, facilitate the growth of that in a way that builds them up and encourages them.
So we've talked about self-esteem and we've talked about media. What about our bodies as a temple of God, mm-hmm. our food? I mean, and of course, I guess this ties in with media,
mm-hmm.
but there is an obesity epidemic. And how do you help young people eat the right foods for the right reasons, not just try to be skinny?
Yeah.
That, slim.
My daughter will love that question, because she's a young mother right now, and her children eat all organic and fresh foods. And I do think it helps to start young, because then you develop a taste for those
yes.
things. But I also, you know, our schools are one of the worst offenders, our public schools, because the food that they serve is so full of starch,
mm-hmm.
full of sugar, and that's where the kids are mm-hmm. eating a lot of their food during the week. I think it's all about education and making food interesting and fun and healthy. This isn't my area of expertise, but I know for myself, you know, it really is finding those things you like and trying them. And in our family, we live in northern Washington. And so we are able to go to markets and go to farms and get food right from the farm. And that's wonderful. And taking kids, I take my grandkids and we go and we pick things right out of the field. And starting from an early age, they really learn to enjoy that and appreciate it.
Yes, yes. I remember my own children when we grew a garden, all of a sudden they liked all the things that they'd grown, you know, and before when we just got them, you know, out of the store, they weren't that big of a deal. But when we actually put the seed in the ground and then pulled it out, you know, I remember the first time they pulled a carrot out of the ground, they were just... they were just so shocked. Their eyes were so big. They were like 6 years old. They just couldn't believe that that little seed had turned into that big carrot.
And it, from the ground, it tastes so much better than in the store. A green bean in your own garden, the flavor is incredible compared to the store.
Yes, and so we're looking at the whole adolescent. You know, we're looking at their spiritual, their physical, and their mental. And we've talked about the self-worth, which I think, you know, that's something that starts at infancy where the parents are providing. And then it just, you know, I always said, and I don't know if this has been documented, but it seems like the terrible twos are again reflected in the terrible teens. So if you, you know, have figured out how to help that child through the terrible twos, well, the twos are... where they're beginning to realize they're separate from their mom, that they're a separate little individual, and their individuality begins to show. And that's why we often call it the terrible twos.
But there is a lot of research out there to show that in the first 3 years, that forming of attachment and stability in an infant and toddler's life is critical to their ability to handle stress and to make those kinds of empathetic decisions later on in life.
Yes.
So there is some research behind that.
Yes. And then the gateway drugs like alcohol and inhalants and tobacco, those kinds of things, I think maybe it's too late in teenage years to say, no, don't do that. It's almost too late.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's important before they hit that, that they have a foundation from which they're making those decisions.
Yes.
Because that's very strong peer pressure. And if a child doesn't have self-esteem and doesn't know who they are and have something that grounds them, it's going to be a lot more difficult for them to resist that type of pressure than if they know who they are, feel confident about that, and know that they are loved. It's a lot, even as adults, if we're standing from a place of strength and who we are in Christ, it's a lot easier to stand against the world than if you're somebody who doesn't know who you are and doesn't have a relationship with Christ.
Yes, amen, amen. Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us. Go to Dr. Tara Fairfield's website.
www.makaiqueen.com.
Makai Queen, that's spelled M-A-K-A-I, and then Queen, Q-U-E-E-N.com, makaiqueen.com. And thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.